Hey, Julian, listen to this. The bosses at Cambridge 105 Radio, they're giving us an extra 30 minutes.
Lucy, I've always liked them.
That means there's more time for community interviews.
And more about local entertainment and theatre.
And there's more time for requests on Jukebox Friday.
Join us for Cambridge Breakfast, weekdays on Cambridge 105 Radio, from 7 to 9.
30.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's the start of Facial Palsy Awareness Week, and to find out a little bit more, we're joined by Corinne Duhigg. Am I pronouncing that one right?
Nearly.
How am I supposed to
Duhigg.
Say it? Duhigg. Okay. I can see it. So where's it? It's Germanish or
Irish?
Irish.
Oh, Julian.
Goodness! I'm rubbish this morning.
Right there, John.
Anyway, amongst other things, Corinne is a forensic archaeologist for Cambridgeshire Police and a fellow of Wolfson College. She also seems to know half the radio station as well. we've discovered, but we're talking about facial palsy this morning. This is something you've lived with, but for how long?
It's nearly 11 years now.
Well, what are the symptoms for something like this?
Well, there's two phases. And the first phase, which people know about a bit more, is when your face just suddenly drops on one side. So
right.
It looks as though you've had a stroke. So that's the acute phase, you might say. Then usually what happens is people either get completely better.
Hmm.
And you only have to look at celebs like George Clooney to see he's had it and it just gets better. But the problem is if it gets too much better, because instead of being floppy, your face becomes too tight.
So it kind of goes in the other direction,
goes
if you
the
like.
The other way, right. Oh. Overreact. And because as your facial nerve, which has been damaged, regrows, all the nerves grow into the paths that the others should have taken, so that the nerve to your mouth links up with the nerve that makes you blink.
Mm.
And vice versa. And even the tiny little muscle in your ear has a nerve going to it. And so when you smile, the muscle in your ear starts pounding. So many, many, many things can happen. These can give you, obviously, tension in your face, but they can also give you weird facial expressions. And usually the worst thing probably is that you can't smile properly.
Right. And we do rely on facial expressions when we're speaking to somebody as much as we do what they say. We often chat here, you know, whenever we try to get somebody in for an interview and they say, oh, can we do it on the telephone? And it's like, well, we'd like you. And one of the reasons, quite simply, is even though this is radio, that we can see how somebody is reacting as part of the conversation, the way, of course, that people do throughout the day.
Yeah, so you actually, in that way, you have a sense of losing your entire communication. It's very difficult, even if the observer doesn't notice it so much.
Right.
You feel it because you know that you're not smiling, you know you're not moving your face normally.
Mm. Do we know what the causes are behind it?
There's such a vast number of causes.
Right.
Now, I had Bell's palsy, which is the commonest.
Mm-hmm.
That's about 60% of people who have any facial palsy have Bell's palsy. Cause really unknown.
Mm.
In my case, I neglected an earache.
Work.
Don't neglect an earache,
that's scary.
People. Yeah. And because the facial nerve passes very close to your ear, it squashes.
Right. That thing you were saying about the ear throbbing when sometimes
yes.
when you smile. Yeah.
So that's the most common, but there's all kinds of causes. So tumours compress on the facial nerve. Some children are actually born with it, which is tragic, so they've got to be treated from the start. All kinds of infections. Lyme disease causes it. So that's something for people to look out for. So all different kinds of things. But if they target that tiny little nerve where it passes through near your ear, then it can happen.
Have you any idea how many people would have facial palsy in some form or another? Because I realise from what you're saying there, it sort of comes in varying degrees and varying levels.
It's extremely, extremely common. Thousands and thousands of people have it in the UK in any year.
Mm.
A vast number of them get better straight away.
Straight away as in a couple of days, couple of weeks, months?
As in, it varies. Days, rarely, but months, usually.
Right.
Gradually the face gains its energy again, you might say.
Yeah.
How do you then live with it? Because you said there is the communication difficulty. Is it something which can be treated in any shape or form?
It can be treated if you get to the treatment. And that's one of the key points about Facial Palsy Awareness Week, is to tell people who are affected to go and ask for treatment, not give in and think this is the end of it. And even to get awareness to doctors, to physiotherapists, anyone who's involved, realizing that it can be helped massively, and even years and years after you've been affected, because I didn't get proper treatment until 3 years ago. So I was basically left abandoned.
And when you say you didn't get proper treatment, had you sought treatment in the years before that?
Yes, I had, yeah. I'd obviously gone to Addenbrooke's when my face first fell, and they were fantastic and treated me to kill any infections there might have been. And then slowly, the tension and all these odd connections in the face developed, and I didn't know where to go, so I took private physiotherapy. Local physiotherapists often are not specialised, don't know what to do. Eventually, I was told to go and see a neurologist. My wonderful GP sent me to a neurologist who told me I should think myself lucky that it wasn't worse and to go away.
No, that's helpful.
However, yeah, luckily, I then came across Facial Palsy UK, which is the big action group. I went to one of their meetings, saw lots of people who were suffering as I was, immediately found out that there were specialist services, very few around the country. I was referred to the hospital in East Grinstead, which is where, you know, they used to work with the very badly injured airmen.
Right.
So they're used to.
So there's nowhere
suffering.
Locally. Now, obviously,
nothing locally.
That's astounding for all of the sort of the research and the near army of people who are moving into the biomedical campus. Mm. And you have to traipse all. Nothing wrong with the good people of East Grinstead, but it's a long way to go.
It is, and it's a long process because you have to have. I'm currently having physiotherapy and Botox. And I traipse down there every few months, and I will be doing that for a very, very long time.
Yes. Is there an end point to this, or do they become a point where you say, or you are told, you know, that's the way it's going to be?
I think it depends on the person. There may be people who get back to what they feel is completely normal, and there may be others of us who have to say, right, I've reached the point where I can function. And the main thing also for me is pain. Because all these muscles in tension cause a lot of pain. So for me to get to a point where I have little or no pain in my face will be a massive moment.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for coming in and chatting to us this morning. So Facial Palsy UK, those are the people you've kind of got to Google or whatever.
That's
if there are some issues, and to find out more about Facial Palsy Awareness Week.
Google them and don't give in.
Yeah. Okay. Corinne, thank you very much
thank you
for coming in this
Glad
morning.
To talk. Cambridge 105 Radio.